Let there be light. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord today with us. Praise God. I'm still trying to shake this cold, so if I sound like it, that's what it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see Janie come down from Birmingham, and haven't had Alice in the congregation for a long time. Good to see Alice. And Mary's mom, good to see her today. And if I don't call your name special, it's because maybe I don't know it, but it's good to see you here today anyway. We're glad you're in the house of the Lord. And turn with us to Psalm 124. We are sharing a series of messages. There'll be at least 15 messages in this series, which I will not try to preach all of them this morning, of course. But they are what David refers to. If you look in your Bible, it's called the Songs of Degrees, Song of Degrees. The word degree, it means like you're going up an incline. A song of ascent would be a very good word for it. You're ascending something. You're going up it. Like a road, a hill might be 45 degrees up, you know. So we're on the 124th Psalm. And what I'm sharing this particular series of messages is when I was praying about these one day, I began to see something. I began to see that these were types of surrender. Every individual that walks with God will take steps of surrender. You cannot go any further with God than your surrender allows you to. If you have little surrender, that's how far you'll go with God. If you have a great surrender, you'll go greater with God. And what we're dealing with here is 15 steps of surrender. So, in all of my time of living with God and walking with God, every time God moves me up a little in His kingdom, it is always through a measure of surrender to His will. And so I begin to see this in this Song of Degrees. And let me read the 124th Psalm to you. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your word. It is forever settled in heaven. May we understand, may we glean today from these passages, the harvest that is rich for the soul. Father, bless it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three main thoughts in this passage. Three main thoughts that I'm going to try to bring to you. My wife told me that the chicken would not be ready till 1 o'clock. Whenever I started up front a while ago, Jerry Jr. back there stopped me and he said, I haven't had breakfast yet. Keeping all of those things in mind, you will know how much I will be impressed by that. The first consideration that we're going to take under advisement this morning is his first statement. Where would we be? Where would we be if it had not been that the Lord was with us? Now, I interpreted that into our language today, but that's what he's saying. What would have happened to us if God and his presence had not been in your life? Now, I'm asking you a fair question this morning. Where would you be? Now, some of you who have a rather jovial mind, you might say, Brother Potter, I'd be fishing this morning. Well, or on the couch, or reading the newspaper, or something like that. But I'm not talking about something that's flippant today. I'm talking about something that's serious. To take it into real consideration here this morning, where would you be today? And don't forget, I know most of you pretty well. I know where a lot of you come from. I know where many of your lives were headed when God reached into your life. I know the path that you were on, the road that you were taking, and the spiral of the fall that you were in. There were some of you here today that would have filled a drunkard's grave. There's nothing sadder than to go to a drunkard's funeral. There are some of you here today that would have been on the morgue over here somewhere with a tag on your toe that said you overdosed on drugs. There are some of you here today, and I do not mean this facetiously today, there are some of you here today that would have been in a mental hospital if God had not intervened in your life and reached into your life and touched you. There are some of you that would not be alive today. You would have taken your own life. You told me so. Some of you would be in prison today. Say, Brother Potter, you got a rough bunch out here. No, I've got a bunch that used to be rough until Jesus came into their lives. Amen. There are some of you whose homes are together today that would have been broken up had it not been for God. Perhaps there would be some of you here today dying of AIDS or some other disease that can be brought on by misconduct. David asked a fair question. If God had not been with us, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, what would have happened? Where would we have been? What would have taken place in our life? There's not a day goes by that I don't pick up the newspaper and I read about somebody having their throat cut or shot or right here. I'm not talking about New York. I'm talking about Columbus, Mississippi. I read about children. I call them children, 16, 17 years old, in a drunken stupor, wrapping an automobile around a telephone pole or into a bridge out here somewhere. Hardly a day goes by that you don't pick up the paper and read about somebody that you know. I mean reading the paper, somebody that you know that was busted for possession of narcotics. David asked a fair question. And I think you owe God an answer this morning. I think you need to stop and think and ask yourself, where would you be? Where would you be this morning if the Spirit of God had not touched you and called you and put His presence in your life and became part of your life and relationship? Where would you be today? I think that if we are realistic in our evaluation, we're going to come to the conclusion that we're far better off having belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy of your soul would love nothing more today than to swallow you up and to overwhelm you. He would love nothing more than, if he could. This is what the psalmist is saying. I think of what Job talked about, the book of Job, how that God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And the devil said, "Yes, but you have a hedge around him." Now, how did the devil know he had a hedge around him? He'd walked that hedge, hadn't he? You ever see inside of a fence where a dog runs? Right next to the fence, I mean, it'd be green grass right up to it, but where the dog runs along the edge of the fence, there won't be no grass there. He'll be drug it down. And I'll guarantee you, around every child of God, there is a hedge, and just outside of that hedge, there's a trap going all the way around it where Satan is trying to find a way to get through the hedge to your life. And the only thing that keeps the enemy out of your life, where, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, then they had swallowed us up quick. Friend, the devil would make quick work of us if it was not for the fact that God is on our side. You know, when I was a child, we used to choose up sides. You ever done that? Play basketball, baseball, football, whatever. You choose up sides. Well, that's not exactly what this is talking about, but it leans that direction. It's more like whenever there was a conflict in school, I would be upon the side of my friend, and my friend would be on my side. He would take up my defense because he was my friend. And that's exactly what this means here. The Lord is on our side. We're in this life. We're in the arena of battle. And God is on our side. I saw a young man one time that had a very large friend, being quite mouthy to somebody else. And he was very bold and very brave, and he didn't realize his big friend had walked off. And when he said, "Ain't that right?" and he looked around, and the guy, he said, "Wait a minute, I gotta go find somebody." We can take a stand in the things of God as long as we understand that our strength comes from Him. If it had not been for Him, where would we be this morning? Now, there are those who do not give God the glory. And that's one of the worst possible things that you can do. I've had people say, "Well, you know, God doesn't make any difference in my life. I get along quite fine without God." And you never have understood that it is the angel of the Lord that is watching over you. Whether you know it or not, whether you're aware of it or not. Many years ago, I was working in the top of a building. It was quite high. We had to climb a ladder that was taller than the top of this building and get on a catwalk on top of this large fertilizer plant, Pensacola, Florida. And I've always believed that scripture where it says, "Lo, I am with you always." And I really didn't like being up there. I had two legs and one arm around anything I could hold on to the whole time I was up there. And one day, I was just filled with such fear over being up there. One day I turned around, and there was a man standing behind me in a very wonderful looking suit. I thought, what in the world is that man doing up here? He disappeared. The word of the Lord came to my heart about how that the angels of God are ministering spirits, ministering unto the heirs of salvation. From that moment on, I was never afraid again. Amen. About being up on heights and so on like that. Why? Because the angel of God was there and I didn't even know it. That's what Jacob said. This is the house of God. There are angels here. God's presence is here. And I didn't know it. We need to realize that it is God who has kept us. There are some of you here. In fact, I would go as far as to say, there's probably many of you here this morning that have walked away from the very stench of death. It's been that close to you. And you walked away. And, you know, sometimes we say, well, I'm lucky. No, you're not lucky. You were preserved for a purpose. And we need to know to give God the glory. The second thought in this passage is in verse 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Hallelujah. It is a glorious day in the Christian life when you finally understand that the snare is broken. Hallelujah. That Satan has set a snare for your soul. He wants to entrap you. Every moment of your life, he's looking for a way to entrap you. But as a child of God, you have to remind him of something. Paul told us in the book of Colossians that at the cross, Jesus did something very special. He disarmed, the Bible says. He spoiled, which means to disarm, principalities and powers. And literally what that means is he broke his weapons. Hallelujah. And so the enemy lassos you or snares you, and you think you're had, you think you've been got, and many Christians never realize that the snare's broken. There's no lock on the cage. The door that the enemy has in his prison has no lock on it. Hallelujah. Jesus returned into Galilee in the power of the Spirit, Luke chapter 4, and he said, "The anointing of the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel." How many of you know what the word gospel means? Everybody does, don't you? It means good news. Well, what's the good news? I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to preach deliverance to the what? How many know what the next word is? I came to preach deliverance. This is what Christ is saying. I came to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. The bands are burst. The trap has been sprung. The prison door is open. The bonds are broken, people. We have to understand that I know Satan's power is the power of deception. The only power that Satan has over a child of God is the power of deception. I preached another series of messages some time ago about the strongholds that Satan has in our life. Every stronghold that Satan has in your life is in your mind. It is a product of, as we titled it, stinking thinking. Amen. It is a product of a deception that comes into our mind and spirit. And Satan uses that. Now, don't get me wrong. There are those who would tell you that sickness is a deception, that you're not really sick. Well, I think they're wrong in that, all right? I'm reminded of a fellow who was a Christian Scientist. He stopped into a service station one time, and he was talking to a man, and the conversation come around to his brother, and the brother was very ill. And the Christian Scientists, they teach you that you're not really sick, you just think you're sick. And he's told him, he said, your brother's not sick, he just thinks he's sick. Well, he went on down the road, and he came back a few weeks later. He said, did you tell your brother what I said? He said, yes. He said, how is he? He said, well, he thinks he's dead. But what I'm talking about today is the power of sin to rule over you. The power of sin to rule over you. Sin shall not reign, the Bible says, in your mortal body. Sin's power has been broken. The snare has been broken by Jesus Christ. Now, I know people who seem to be imprisoned by habits that they wish they didn't have in their life. Hey, Brother Potter, what are you trying to say? That's a delicate way of saying I know folks that drink and smoke and chew and dip and still have our fellowship. Amen. Fella asked me one time if I thought cigarettes would send him to hell. I said, no, it just makes you smell like you've been there. But I'm trying to get across something to you. There are people who feel these things, and it feels as if it's got a grip on their life that they just can't get out of. But you do not understand, the snare is broken. You start wiggling around a little bit in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to find out that thing will fall off of your life. It will leave. God will give you victory over it. Every time I think about something like this, I think about a story Brother Whitaker told me about a man that was in his church that had trouble giving up chewing tobacco. He hadn't chewed in a year, but he said he still had the taste for it. Brother Whitaker went over to his house one day, and they were talking, and they walked out on the back porch, and up on the back porch on the shelf was a plug of chewing tobacco. Brother Whitaker said to the man, I thought you gave up chewing tobacco. He said, I did. Haven't chewed any in a year. He said, well, what's that plug doing up there? And he said, well, every once in a while I just come out here and I lick it. And I just want to see if it tastes like it used to taste. Well, now, folks, if you're going to keep licking on that thing, you're going to have to get some more help. Amen. But I promise you that I have seen God deliver people from things that you would think are impossible. One of the things that we have seen over the years and have read about a great deal about, David Wilkerson's group that works with drug addicts and so on like that. Many of those drug addicts, when they give their life to Christ, now not all of them, but many of them, are instantly delivered from the habits, just instantly delivered. There are some that have to go through the struggle. I don't know why God allows it, but many of them are instantly delivered from the thing that supposedly binds their life. But David says to us, don't you know, first of all, look at what the devil could have done to you if God wasn't on your side. Second of all, don't you know the snare is broken? Don't you know that's why we escaped? God broke the snare. Hallelujah.
Number three, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Have you ever settled this matter with the Lord Jesus Christ? Not long ago, I was studying the scripture. Y'all excuse me, my head's just trying to clear. That don't look good on the tape, doesn't sound good, but it's better than sneezing all over the place. I was reading Romans 10. Romans 10, where it talks about salvation. If thou shalt believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead the third day, as also says the scripture, thou shalt be saved. Then it says, for with the heart, verse 10, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We should always learn to interpret scripture with scripture. Book of Philippians chapter 2 tells us that there will come a day in every one of our lives. There will come a day in every life when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That is the confession of salvation. It is not standing here and saying, I believe the Lord saved me today. That's not the confession of salvation. The confession that saves is the confession that Jesus is Lord of our life. I want you to see with me in my closing statements here. I'm not going to keep you till 1 o'clock. In Romans 6, it tells us that we are the servant of righteousness or the servant of sin. There's something very conspicuously missing from that statement. Did you notice there's no third choice? It's an either or situation. You are or you're not. There's no mixture here. There's no gray area. It's black or white. You are the servant of sin, or you are the servant of righteousness. You are following Satan, or you are following Jesus Christ. There is no neutral ground. Jesus one time said, he that is not against us is for us. There are numbers of Christians today who think that they're living, or people, I should say, that are living in this doldrum, a spiritual doldrum, where maybe I should call it a spiritual limbo, where they're between decisions. But there's no such thing. You are either the servant of sin or the servant of God. Christ is Lord of your life, or Satan is Lord of your life. One or the other. Hey, folks, I didn't read the book, but I can read this thing. I know what it says. Many of the tests that we face in our life, in fact, I would venture to say that the majority of testings that come to our life are based upon this premise: is Christ really Lord? When I come to a decision, Do I decide to do as the Spirit of God has led me to do, or I decide to do what I think is best? Does Christ really rule and reign? Is He? Then this issue will be settled. But until it is settled, as long as you're making a decision one day for God and the next day for the devil, I promise you that issue is not settled yet. And as long as Satan sees a hope in your life, he's going to pour the heat on. There are a lot of you that bring trials and tribulations into your own life because you have never declared Christ Lord of your life and backed it up by what you did. The confession that Christ is Lord, that's a start. Yes, it is. But I promise you that confession will be tried. Because it's not so much what we say, it's what we are that makes the difference. Now, Brother Potter, that doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. Yes, it does. Let me put it this way. Years ago, we went rabbit hunting. It was on a power line, and I could see my vehicle. And you know, it looked like such an easy walk down to my vehicle. But I did not know there were vines in there almost as tall as this church. I've never seen such vines and stickers. And I got to walking down through there, and I'm telling you, they were ripping and a tearing and a cutting up. And finally I thought, well, I've gone too far to go back. I just might as well go ahead and go the rest of the way. But you know, there was an easy way. There was a truck at the top of the hill. I could have got in the truck and rode around. There are some of us that make it rough on our life because we think we can take a shortcut. And we bring into our life a lot of cuts and slashes and bruises and hurts because we did not choose God's way. Brother Whitaker called me one morning years ago. He said, Brother Potter, I'm going to give you the title of a sermon. You have to let God give you the sermon, but I'm going to give you the title. If you let God do the choosing, you always get the best. And you know he was right. It did turn out to be quite a nice sermon. But it's still true. When God does the choosing in your life, it always works out for the best. Even though at the moment, at the time, it may not seem to be the thing we'd like or even could tolerate. But when we look at it retrospectively, we look back and say, you know, how many of you heard that hindsight's 20/20? We can look back and see what God has done and say, yeah, I see now what God was doing in my life. I see. I can, over and over and over again, I can look back and say, God, I see what you did. But faith is not seeing God behind you. Faith is seeing God with you. Martha said, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would be alive. Well, he's going to live again. Well, Lord, I know he'll live in the resurrection. She could see the great I was and the great I will be, but she couldn't see the great I am. Faith is not seeing God yesterday. Faith is not seeing God tomorrow. Faith is seeing God right now. Faith is saying yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life and taking that step today to prove it. So indeed, this is one of the greatest of all steps of surrender. When the issue is settled and Christ is Lord, will I be tried, Brother Potter? Yes, you'll still be tried. But every time you're tried, it will be for one reason and one alone, and that is to rub salt in the devil's face. Hallelujah. Go ahead and try him. Go ahead and test him. And let me tell you what he's going to do. Let me tell you what she's going to do. Praise God. Because God knows you've made that decision and that you're going to walk with him. And every time you take that stand, every time that you stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and you do the thing that God spoke to you about, it just rubs salt in Satan's wound. And every once in a while, he just needs a good salting. I hope this has given you some things to think about today. Hey, I'm right on time this morning. I appreciate you being here. And I hope the Spirit of the Lord has helped you to hear what he was saying this morning. Christ must be the Lord of our life. We can fool around with God. We can play around with God. But eventually, folks, those people who fool around with God, they miss out. They always do. Take a stand for God. Ask Christ to be the Lord of your life today. Amen. I don't mean to keep you any longer than I have to this morning, but would you bow your head and close your eyes? Is there anyone here this morning that wants to stand up and say, I want to declare Christ as the Lord of my life today? Maybe you haven't committed your life to his lordship. Maybe you have reservations or have had. But folks, if the Spirit of God is dealing with you, just slip your hand up and take it back down. I won't try to embarrass you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Amen. You that raised your hand, do something with me right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to embarrass you a bit. I want you to just bow your head to the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows where you are. He knows who you are. He saw your hand when it went up. Pray with me right now. Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Just pray it silently to God. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to fill my life with your presence. Father, I know, God, that without that lordship, I will not have your presence. And I pray this morning, I surrender to the lordship of Christ, and I ask for the presence of God to come into my life. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Potter, that's a simple prayer. Yes, but God took it seriously. I said God took it seriously. Christ must be Lord. Not just Savior, he must be Lord. We'll see you back here tonight at 6:30. God bless you.